To recap, we learned about the tongue. Did we learn about the tongue? I thought we had an opportunity to practice right away, and oops, that's not what the intention of the writer of James is. And so I would like us to turn to chapter 3, and we're going to read from verse 13, and we're going to stop at James 4:6. Let's just listen. Allow the word of God to just wash over you, even now. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but he gives more grace? Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So, recap, watch your mouth and guard your heart. James reminded us that the source from which we draw from, we need Jesus. Because left to our own devices, the source we choose brings about destruction. The first, I would like to tell you something. Chris, could you grab this? Thank you. To explain how we're going to go about this. Because these words, these verses could be, they are hard hitting. But this summer, Chris and I were away with our little grandson Gunner, and he cut his foot and sand got in the wound. So Chris took him into the shower and said, take a shower, we'll clean your foot. And when they came home to the trailer, I said, Gunner, would you show Oma your foot? It hurts. So he didn't want to do that, but he let me see it. And in the wound was a line of sand. And I said, Gunner, do you want to heal your foot to heal properly? Yes, I do, Oma. We'll just put a Band-Aid on it. And I said, we can't do that. If we put a Band-Aid on the way it is now, it's going to get infected and your foot is going to get really, really sore. Oma's going to have to take a Q-tip and she's going to have to gently take out the sand. Will it hurt? Yep. But you can be brave. So we put Gunner on a soft bed. He leaned his foot against me and it took, I think, 5 or 6 swabs for me to get that clean. He had to be really brave. But think of this as this is a safe place, like Gunner's was. I had to hurt him gently, but we wanted the wound to be clean. So James wants us to grow in faith. He wrote this book to Christians, to the Christian church. And so how he does this, he poses a series of questions that get the intellect going. He doesn't just start lecturing, but he will ask a question. And so then the reader's brains are engaged, and then he gives you the answer. He doesn't allow you to find the answer to get the wrong answer. So this is the technique he used. So he starts by saying, Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. When you look at the original language, James is asking, which of you have the wisdom to live in such a way that what you do is done with the Lord's inspiration and is finished by his direction and empowerment? It is not somehow being smart, streetwise. This wisdom can only come from God. The word wisdom, Sophia, means skill that comes from God, nothing of ourselves. So he's asking, which one among you has this? The way to know it is we show it by our good conduct, not just by our words, but our good conduct. It's the way we live. We build a reputation for wisdom. There's proof in the pudding, so to speak. You can't say one thing and live another way. That doesn't work. People won't believe you. And we know that the source of your wisdom then is not godly, but earthly. James 3:14, he tells you, but if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. If our hearts are full of other things, that will also show. It was so interesting to me. The word bitter here has a definition that means harsh and virulent, like a virus. That kind of intense, envious thing. You put that together with jealousy, which is defined here by a burning emotion, and you can see that this will consume us like a fever. We can see that this kind of thing can destroy our hearts, and you know, Dr. Duro would tell us, if you have a virus, you can infect other people. And there's no way you won't. If this is the kind of thing that's in your heart, you're going to infect others and destroy yourself. James asks us to be honest. If our hearts are infected with these issues, don't lie about it. Don't lie about it. Be honest. Don't twist the truth to make yourself sound wise either. Because we cannot hide these destructive emotions. We learned last week it's so hard to tame the tongue, but it will come out when we speak. It will come out in our thinking, and that will affect our actions. And even then we know we try to make ourselves look better, but it doesn't work. Anytime I've tried to make myself look better when I've made a mistake, Chris could be the one to say, honey, you're not fooling anyone. We do that to our children, right? Like that is a place where we can say that another little grandchild was hiding cookies under his pillow because he thought he needed a snack to last him through the night. Well, Mama asked, because she could see the lumps, what's underneath your pillow? Well, nothing. Well, let's just have a look. And so that's what we're doing right now. It shows. It will show. You can't hide it. Especially because this bitter envy will destroy you inside. So James doesn't want that for us. Jesus doesn't want that for us. James is so explicit. In case there was any doubt, this wisdom defined as knowledge and practice for godly living, that kind of wisdom is not of earthly, it's not of heavenly origin. It's like craftiness. It comes from the mind of man and is so liable to error. We can see that in the political arena. We can see it sometimes in our school system. Things are changing and people think they are so wise. And you see the fruit of that is destruction, right? Loss of freedom, loss of rights. The Message Bible translates it this way. It is the furthest thing from wisdom. It's animal cunning and devilish conniving. Those are really hard words to hear. And so we want to make sure that when we say we are wise, that we haven't allowed anything like that to infect us. When you try to look better than others or get the better of things, things fall apart and everyone ends up at the other's throat, is also what the Message Bible says. When we allow our thinking to be influenced that way, the definition here and the words were like a mercenary action that will lead to disorder, disturbance, and evil. That way of thinking, though, is so infectious that it will lead a person and then others to destruction and corruption to everything they want to accomplish. You know, it's not good. But there is hope. James has just told us the bad side of earthly wisdom, but now he's giving us, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. You know what the characteristic of that is? A people who get along with others. That's how it's characterized. And when you give mercy to people, before you judge what they have done, you put yourself in their shoes. You know what? Jesus came down and put himself in our shoes. He has been tested and touched by everything we could ever be tested on. Can you pause before you, if you see someone doing something wrong, and we think as Christians it is our right to point those things out to each other, can't we just take a breath and say, why did they do that? Can we lean into peace? Can we lean into mercy? Yes, we get to correct actions, but we are never, ever, ever to shame one another, to call each other out with mean and unkind words. That's not peace, and that doesn't yield good fruits. Be genuine, James is saying. Don't fake it without hypocrisy. Don't be two-faced. I'm not going to tell Chris that he did a good job and then go to John and say, you know what, there were so many mistakes in what he did. Oh my goodness. That is being so two-faced. Chris is my friend, and I think, well, maybe because John likes to analyze things, now he's my friend. That is horrible. That is being hypocritical. Don't do it. That is not from above. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Do you know that we can develop a healthy and alive community that lives right with God? But we have to do the hard work of getting along with each other. Sown in peace, that is work. The farmer doesn't just twinkle his nose and the seeds appear in the field. No, we have to work at it. And then you make peace. So then the farmer takes the crop and he actually makes something out of it. We have to be actively engaging and making peace with one another. It is not a passive thing. Like, if I just keep my mouth shut, maybe things will go well. No, make peace with people. Say kind things, loving things, encouraging things. And when you have to say something, speak the truth in love. Remember that little Q-tip, be gentle. And ask the Lord, do you want me to say something? Maybe he's already dealt with that. Maybe he doesn't need you to do that. James then asks a very direct question. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Have you ever saw children fight and then you come in and say, who started it? Well, what is the answer? He did, she did. I've really, in all my years of working with children, I've never heard one child say, I did it. And so James is saying the same thing. Look at yourself. They come from inside. They come from inside of you. Because there's a conflict going on inside of us. And he's making us aware that there is a war, a conflict, that the desire to have our own way is almost like a military campaign going inside of us. He's making us pause and say, think about this. Maybe it's not just an impulse. There's a war going on inside of you. Recognize that. Recognize that. The Apostle Paul said the same thing when he said to his letter in Romans, "For what I'm doing, I don't understand. For what I will to do, I don't practice. But what I hate, that I do." No one is exempt from this. Not people who naturally shout, not people who are soft-spoken. We all have that war going inside of us. And James is bringing awareness to us to this. In order to grow into maturity, we have to admit this. The struggle is real. But we know Jesus is the answer. But there is a struggle going on. And recognizing that is it's like this thing with sand with little Gunner. He had to see the sand. There is sand here. We have to get it out. So the struggle is real. He points out, you lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. We want things for ourselves. When I thought about this, I thought, when you tear someone else down in order to lift yourself up, this is what the murdering and the coveting, it's not literally killing one another, although people have done that, but we do that with our words. It's like you burn them. Remember that analogy about the tongue that was like a forest fire and it destroys? You could reduce the thing that you wanted, the other people, into a mountain of ashes. And then you see this mountain and you think, oh, well, now I can climb to the top. But guess what? It's not firm. You're not going to be able to climb. What you end up doing is sitting in ashes being covered with dirt. And you've destroyed someone else. And the last part of that verse, yet you do not have because you do not ask, it's a pause. You didn't ask. Would God withhold anything from us that was good for us? As Christians, maybe we should pause and think, would he do that? Absolutely not. But he will not give us things that are not good for us or things that don't belong to us, because he's always for our good. Or the next verse, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Brother Rufus led us in the communion saying, ask the Lord. But when we do that, the Bible also asks us to examine ourselves. Why am I asking for this? Why do I want this so badly? Maybe I don't have a right to ask for that thing. Maybe it's not the time. Maybe my intentions were not good. It's like a spoiled child. He's saying, I want this for me and I want it now. We don't want to be like that. You know, the prodigal son did that. He asked for his inheritance, and then he spent it, the Bible said, on riotous living. He ended up in a pig pen eating pig food. The road led to humiliation and degradation. No good comes from this. Our desires will lie to us when they are not submitted to the Holy Spirit. They will say, we need this. If we're not submitted to the Holy Spirit, our desires will lie to us. Like that cookie that says, Chris, you really need me. You've had a rough day, and you need chocolate. I don't. But I want it. I want it now. But James said, don't do it. Don't do this. Be aware. And then James 4:4, the words are even stronger. Adulterer and adulteresses. The meaning here is faithlessness to God. It's like cheating on God. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? And I thought, whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. That speaks about choice. You've made a definite decision. It's like the gray cup is coming. What jersey are you going to put on? Nothing neutral there. You're going to put that jersey on and you're going to say, this is my team. And God is saying, when you choose the world, you are definitely saying no to me. And you're not only saying no to me, but we become an enemy of God. In these moments, we can take such an honest assessment and just think, are there any little germs of ideas that make maybe taking root in our hearts and souls? Have I done that? It's making yourself, it's like you're choosing it with full resolve, the will, I will do this. It's like steering that ship in that direction. And the next verse says, or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? You know what that means? God cares about this deeply. He sent his son to die for us, so we could have that exclusive, pure, holy relationship with him. He didn't just say, well, it's good if you choose me. No, there's this holy jealousy. God wants to have that relationship with us. But he will not tolerate a half-love. Like, I wouldn't tolerate Chris having a girlfriend. Absolutely not. That's not going to happen. You know, it's God is a fiercely jealous lover. The Holy Spirit who lives inside us desires to have a relationship with us, but with great affection. That yearning, that jealousy, it's not a jealousy that will destroy, but it's that longing to love us so deeply and intimately. That's what we would be saying no to. And we don't want to do that. We will end on James 4:6. He's asked questions. James asked questions and answered them and opened up some really hard truths. But then he says, but he, God, gives more grace. The word grace here refers to God freely extending himself, his favor and grace, and also an action of reaching to people he's disposed to bless and be near them. Two things to be observed. God resists the proud, someone who lifts himself up above others. The word resist is antitasso. It means to range and battle against. There can be no greater disgrace than for God to declare a man a rebel, an enemy, and to proceed against him in battle. But God honors the humble. As God is opposed to disgrace, he loves to honor humbleness. And when you have been given grace, he will give you more grace. He will give you so much that there's nothing possible left to give. Nothing possible left to give. But it is important for us to see that we have a choice to make. One course will take us this way. The other pathway will take us there. You know, in Revelation, Jesus said something about spewing the church out of their mouth because they were lukewarm. God loves us so fiercely, so passionately, and he wants to ignite that fire in us, and he has by giving us the Holy Spirit. This path of examining ourselves might be a little hard. We might have to say, oh, Lord, I need your help in this. But when we do that, immediately he gives us grace and then more grace. He doesn't do that punitive thing because he died for the punishment. It's already paid for. But he wants us to say, I need you, Jesus. I need help. Let us pray. Father, I pray that in these moments, your gentle Holy Spirit would examine our hearts. I pray that your love would draw those things to the surface that need healing and that need cleansing. Lord, we submit ourselves to you in these moments and say, not our will, Lord, but yours be done in us. Lord, we humbly ask that you would produce in us the fruit of right thinking, right living, and peace, so that our lights would shine and give testimony of your saving grace to others. Father, we want to be the city on the hill, the shining light for you. We thank you for your grace and your love and your patience. We thank you for your mercy, and we thank you for Jesus. We thank you again for the cross, because Jesus, you gave us the victory. And so we stand forgiven and redeemed. Help us to grow in grace, to grow in truth, and to grow in love. Father, I pray that this congregation would be a hallmark, would be that we truly love one another, that we would be sowers of peace amongst ourselves and then extend to others. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.